Yeah,
Yeah.
just doing some stuff around the house and,
Yeah.
but we had a couple of days away walking and up in the hills and stuff, so.
Was Ian Clayton and Justin Abraham were in Coeur d'Alene, and it was kind of an interesting conference because they had David Van Kuvering at the conference, who teaches on quantum physics,
Yeah.
and he wasn't predisposed to either one of them or the materials. And so I was kind of keeping a pretty good eye on David for a couple days because he wasn't going to just, hand him off to these guy himself off to these people and what they were about, because he was on the same bill with them, and it ended up all kind of meshing together pretty well. So it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was. I watched it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
Okay, yeah.
it was live streamed on the internet, so I managed to watch most of it
Yeah.
over the weekend. It was good, actually. Yeah, I mean, some interesting things.
Well, they kind of had a breakthrough a couple nights ago, and Justin was so undone, and I could see the group that was there slightly. I couldn't see him very well defined. I think Justin probably could see him a lot better than me because he was pretty messed up. But it was kind of a, I thought it was a pretty significant night, and I thought it was, I don't think, I really thought that was awesome the way that he was kind of able to sit down and call on Ian to come up and steward that whole thing. I thought that was really, I really admired, Justin, for, on stage to publicly be able to defer to Ian in that way, and I thought that was brilliant. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, there was some interesting things. I thought the question and answer session and their sit down around the table was quite interesting. And I think Justin managed to get Ian to talk about some things that he doesn't normally talk about, which was quite interesting, about the future and stuff he's seen from 2057 and things like that. So did you watch, or did you actually go?
The building for the whole time. I was actually there. I
Right.
live about 3 hours away,
Yeah.
and so my dad and I went down there, and I've had relationship with the people that hosted the conference
Yeah.
for a while, and so a lot of my friends were in the room, and which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
One of my reasons I went down was to kind of talk to some people with skin on them about, because a lot of people have heard the materials, but I haven't, a lot of the people that I've tried to, when I first began, viewing these things and looking into this, I was kind of offering things up to my friends to try for their consideration to kind of get a green light from them about, yeah, this is good. And I was having a hard, nobody said anything to the otherwise, but I haven't really gotten, everybody's been kind of going through their own things about trying to get past whatever resistance or they have in, as far as actually entering in and engaging. And so I haven't known a lot of people that have kind of, it's like I've talked to them about it, everybody likes the teachings, nobody seems to have any flags, but I haven't really known anybody that's actually, went through the door and started engaging and doing that other than the people that I've seen on the hangouts and in the group with us. So it's, I'm kind of figuring that we're all kind of forerunning some stuff, and it's probably gonna, break loose in the Lord's time.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between hearing teaching and being willing to go through the practice and the what it's necessary to be able to engage. I mean, I think our culture, and I think particularly the sort of charismatic culture, has, well, not dumbed things down, but I think they've brought it down to a lot of, well, lay hands on people and everything will be okay, have an experience of the Holy Spirit and everything will be okay. But I don't think it's been encouraging people to pursue things for themselves as much as rely on other people to administer it. And I think you can't take any of the teachings of Ian or any of these things and not experience them by engaging. You have to engage, and to engage you have to practice, and you have to train your senses to experience. And so I think for a lot of people the teachings are interesting. Some of them are, you know, pretty unfathomable if you don't understand the lingo and things, but in reality Ian took 20, 30 years to engage in this stuff, practiced, spent a lot of time in obscurity that no one knew what he was doing, so he had time to really fully engage the Gateway's teaching, you know, engaging in heaven and then understanding the courts. And I mean, if you listen to some of the very early teaching that he did, you know, he's come a long way from some of those things. And some of them, I mean, you know, I remember the first time listening to Engaging the Courts, and he was talking about, well, you need to shout at the top of your voice and engaging praise to be able to enter in. Whereas, I mean, I think nowadays that's sort of, you know, you can step in there by faith or just seek to engage. So things have changed quite a bit over the years, and even listening to some of the things that he's done. But the things he's doing now is just so far removed from the basics, which is, you know, really why I feel called to encourage people to engage from the beginning and build up their spirit and teach people how you can learn to do this. You know, you may have experiences in conferences, and I think sometimes when the presence of the Holy Spirit's there, certain things happens, but it's a different matter when you need to do it tomorrow morning in your own time. You have to learn to train your senses to engage and help engage your spirit in those things. And those things don't come easy without a cost. You know, I think there's a cost to transformation, there's a cost to learning, practicing. You know, you have to repeat things over and over and over to make them your own pathway. I think if people want to take someone else's teaching and then just because they've listened to it think they can do it, it just doesn't work. This is a personal, intimate relationship with God, ultimately. And I think that union with Christ, that becoming one with God and engaging the Father, knowing the Holy Spirit, knowing Jesus, knowing the Father as you know, individual personalities, if you like, takes time, you know. And I don't think our culture really wants to spend the time it takes to engage. Now, you know, I mean, I've learned from Ian's teaching, but when I've put it into practice, I've been able to do it a lot quicker than he did it, because he's opened a gateway and a door. And I hope to do that myself for people, to forerun and open something so others can step through into it easier, but you still have to engage. I mean, it's not something that's just going to happen. You know, in my own personal walk, you know, it took me 4 or 5 years to engage in how to listen to the thoughts of God, how to engage in the Word, how to meditate before I even got onto the visual side of it. Now, I know I can teach people to do that in a matter of weeks, but then they have to then practice and continue. You know, if anybody doesn't practice, then you go to a conference and you have a conference experience, but to outwork it, you have to work it into your own life. And I think, you know, even when people lay hands on you and you experience something of their anointing, it's not your anointing. For it to become your anointing, you have to pay the cost to develop whatever it is in your own life. So I think that's some of the issue, and that does require discipline, you know, and desire. You know, are people content with where they are, or do people really want more? And if they're really desiring of more, are they willing to be disciplined enough to press through the obstacles and the hindrances and the mountains that are in the way so that we can actually engage in the reality of it? I personally, even here, having taught this for the last 5 years, there are a number of people who have been willing to pay the cost, and there are a number of people who haven't. And those people who haven't don't engage, or have maybe some engagement when I do an exercise on a Sunday morning, but actually not. It's not a lifestyle. You know, to develop a lifestyle, you have to work at it, you know. And I think that does put a lot of people off. But I guess it's always been the few who press in. You know, it's the usual sort of percentage. You know, 20% of the church does all the work and 80% benefit from it. And I think it's similar in this. I mean, I think Ian puts it down to, he doesn't think there's more than 10% of the church that will engage. Taking the, you know, 30, 60, 100 fold, and sort of seeing that, you know, really 30, 60, 90 fold would be next, and the 10% really are those who are going to embrace everything. I mean, I hope it's more than 10%, but if it's 10%, then let's see that 10% reach out as mentors to the harvest that's coming, and let's embrace everyone from that harvest, embracing their destiny in the spirit and moving forward with it. But, yeah. So, I mean, in terms of going, you know, at that conference, did you engage or experience in things yourself, or?
Because I started having, I encountered that I was allowed to enter the dark cloud last week. And so that's, I've been kind of keep going back, and I mean I'm so fascinated with the, I was pretty excited that I'd actually was allowed to enter in, and then the next day I kind of wanted to go back, and then I got to the conference and I'm like, well, and so every time we were doing the worship, and it was like, and the Lord's like, yeah, come on back in, you know, and so I was kind of going back in from that place, and I didn't really have any expectations or anything. I just kind of entered back in and wait, and it was pretty interesting, and it kind of threw me off, because it was kind of in a dark place, and then he would begin, you know, I'd just have to kind of sit in there for a while, and I knew I was in, and I knew I was in his presence, and it, you know, it was really good, and then I would kind of begin to see a little bit, and on one of the nights, I had kind of seen the Lord, and it was almost as if he had like a black and white bag over his head. It was dark on one side and light on the other side. And I started thinking, oh, I've kind of fried my brain or so. It's like, I didn't, you know, and I'm not sure whether, you know, whether what I was looking at was okay or not okay, and I didn't really know what to do. And so at one point he kind of, you know, it was like it was him, but I couldn't figure out what this was all about. And then the next day Ian started teaching about the left and the right side of the brain, and he started talking about the dark side being not bad, you know, as if it was in a bad way, but more like the things that are hidden in the mysteries, and then this other side of our brain. And I realized that it was what I'd been looking at there was kind of leading into his instruction the next day, and so that was pretty exciting to me. And then I was I was sitting there, and the next day I kind of I was seeing that again, but the brain, like the dark part of the brain, as I the dark side began illuminating, and it was like, and I saw the brain, like that side of the brain, and it started like lighting up from the inside out and stuff, and so I was sitting there kind of looking at this for a while, and the Lord said, do you want this? And I was like, well, yeah, I want that. And so anyway, it was, you know, it kind of started, it almost threw me off, and because I didn't understand what I was seeing, and it kind of freaked me out a little bit, and I was able to, it didn't blow me out of my space. And then, you know, the Lord kind of, the next day, you know, it was, it kind of led into to the next thing. So it was, yeah. It was confirmation for me. It kind of helped me be a little bit more, you know, trusting. And, anyway, that was kind of part of my experience.
Sure. All right. I mean, did you get through the dark cloud into the presence of the person of God?
Oh yeah. Actually, it's kind of an interesting space. There's a whole lot more, and it's bigger than the cloud looks. I got in there, and it was attached to. It's kind of like walking. You think you're walking into the bathroom, and you think because. Except I got in there intentionally. There's a lot in there. I still haven't figured out who they are. I ended up with some encountering some feminine being in this place that was really nice. And she was beautiful, and it wasn't wisdom, but she was kind of one of her counterparts in this beautiful realm. Right. And I'm still trying to kind of sort out, you know, what's kind of what I've experienced here.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool. It wasn't like I went in the dark cloud and it was a small, dark place. It was dimensionally, there was a lot in there. In fact, I'm so caught up with the whole thing. I've had a hard time, like, not going back in and, like, looking to see more. But what's kind of interesting is that it's not really based on, I just kind of go there and rest in his presence, and I'm kind of allowed to maybe come in a little bit. The first time when I saw him there was really interesting to me, and I thought I'm pretty much ready for anything, and it was okay. I was a little, I thought, oh no, you know, I just didn't really know what to expect. You know, and it was like, I'm going in, and I'm, you know, brace yourself or something. And it ended up being a really, really good experience. I talked to a few people actually at the conference that had been entering, you know, having dark cloud encounters. And so I thought the whole thing was kind of a milestone. It was like, well, Mike talks about this, and it's like, and so I've been interested in it, but I hadn't seen it. One of the things that was interesting to me when I first saw it a number of years back, I remember encountering a cloud, and I really didn't understand what I was looking at, and it was, I believe that it was the same cloud, but it was pink at the time, and it had lightning bolts coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And so it never even dawned on me back then to go into the thing. But I was waiting for something really significant to happen. It was like I saw this thing. I could sense the power and the authority. and I never saw it again. But when I saw the dark cloud, I was like, this is the same thing. And then I saw it was dark with the, you know, with the same, like, lightning bolts kind of coming out. And I was like, this is the same thing that I saw, like, 8 years ago. Yeah. And so I was like, oh. So I thought that was kind of awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I think a lot of these places and a lot of these experiences are very unique and personal for us, designed for us, because that's why they're different. You know, my experiences would be totally different. The only thing I could engage in the dark cloud was nothing until I got through it into the middle. I'm assuming it's in the middle. I've no idea because it's just dark. Till I engaged the actual person of God. You know, it took me months of being in that darkness. Now, I remember they were talking about at the conference about the flame of God and engaging the fire of God and then the flame of God. I remember seeing my scroll and seeing a flame on my scroll. And everything led up to that point in my life, and nothing was the same afterwards. And that was my experience of the dark cloud. I spent 3-4 months in darkness, actually not hearing anything other than wait and rest and be still. But what it did for me is, by the time I got into engage with the person of God, I knew that God loved me, and He would always love me, no matter if I ever did anything else for Him. And I know that He knew that I loved Him if He never did anything else for me. And I think it was a trust issue for me, developing trust when you don't see, when everything seems to be dark. It was probably the most difficult period of my life, I think, in terms of engaging that. Now, other people's experiences are obviously different. I didn't see or meet anyone else other than the person of God, and I could not even at that point look into His face and see more than one facet without being just my mind couldn't cope. Now, I think my spirit received things that my mind just wasn't able to not just grab hold of, but not even contend with at all. But I think the experience subsequently opened my spirit to so much more. I mean, I think, you know, I have been back. I still can't stay there in the presence of the person of God. I mean, we're not talking about His presence or, you know, I've met with Him in His garden as Father. You know, I've met with Jesus. I've been to the judgment seat. I've met with the fiery pillar. You know, I've had awesome experiences. This is like nothing else. I mean, this is the person of God. I still can't really describe it, but I know it was totally life changing. Even though, you know, I can't sort of describe exactly what happened, I know it changed my life, and I know from that experience so much opened up in terms of God's purposes and His plans. And, you know, I was more compliant. You know, it was like there was nothing to prove. You know, I brought my ketubah to Him in terms of the contract, and there were so many things on that contract. And during my period in the dark cloud, every one of those things died, and I died to them, so that they mattered nothing compared to just knowing Him and just wanting Him and just experiencing Him. And that's what my experience was when I came out of it, was, you know, if none of these things ever took place, it wouldn't matter anything. I'd still love Him, trust Him, you know, because it's not about what I do for Him or what He does for me. It's just about being in union, being in that joined to Him, connected to Him. And then I think that just opened up the fact then that He could trust me to do the things that He'd shown me, because they didn't matter I wasn't doing it for those things. You know, I was doing it because I loved him, and that was it. Now, I guess people have just so many different experiences. That's why, you know, heaven is a multiverse, unique place that it's all designed for us. You know, so, you know, your experience of the dark cloud will be different from others, which I love, because, you know, that means we can't copy anything. It's just we learn to engage and then find the experience which God has for us, you know. And I love that. You know, I love that about God, that he is willing to do everything personally and uniquely for us because he loves us so much, which is pretty awesome. But I'm sure your experiences are going to lead to opening up of other things. You won't be the same having encountered that. It's just, you know, the timing of that, you know, is different for everybody. For me, I know something changed, but it took a period of time for that to be outworked. Okay. Have you got anything, Mary, you want to ask?
Pardon?
Have you got anything you'd like to ask?
You know, talking about the dark in this whole arena, and it's only been the last few months for me. And I just it's funny that you're talking about this, because just this morning I was listening to Ian. I went to look for something else, and I ran across the one about the dark cloud, and that's what I listened to this morning. And then I'm going, I mean, this was like totally new to me. Jesus, you know? I've experienced Jesus almost every time that I've been into the realm, but and personal people that I've known, and it's like, this is just like something totally foreign. The only one I wanted to ask you, about in it's never been me initiating that, thinking, boy, I'd like to see, really taking me by surprise, the ones that I have encountered. But I encountered an old high school friend, and we'd been best of friends in school, but we had been separated for decades. And she was one of those friends that whenever we did see or hear of one another again, that was an amazing friendship. But I'm not graduating, and I've gone back to couple, and it's like we were in a sea of people, and it was a narrow course, and we were moving in this crowd of people out into a wider place, or know what we graduated into, you know, or what we were about to step into. Does that just really sound weird?
Well, I didn't quite catch everything because you were breaking up a little bit, but none of these things are weird. I mean, you know, I mean, I've engaged in some things that I don't understand, but I realize that, you know, heaven is and the spiritual realm is so different and enormous in one sense that there's so much. I mean, there's so much to engage in, and people have so many different experiences. You know, I don't think they're weird. I just think they're designed to relate, you know. And if you don't understand anything, my encouragement would be to just go back and with him, ask him, you know, what was that? What did that mean? What was the symbolism? What was the significance? You know, and In that way, the encounters build relationship, because it shows a dependence and a desire to work with him, to experience him, to draw from him. You know, I think sometimes he deliberately gives us things that we don't understand to see what we do with them. And if we're hungry enough and desiring enough, then we will go and we'll go and seek him and ask him and meditate around the experience. Quite often I've had greater revelation from meditating and revisiting the experience than I got in the first encounter, because the first encounter I was just like, whoa, I understand this, where am I, what's going on? You know, because my soul was reacting to it. Now, I don't do that now as much because I'm so much more used to the engagements, and I'm learning to observe and to be aware of more of what's going on. But sometimes things are still symbolic. They're designed to be, because they're designed to engage something that we'll connect with. And so some people's experiences in the realms of heaven, the places they go to, are very attuned to who they are. My experiences, seem to be quite similar. Because God knows how I relate, I guess, and how the things that he does, I will understand or tune into or be drawn to, because there's things that resonate on the inside of me. I don't think any experience is weird. I just think sometimes there's things that we need to go and find, insight into and revelation about.
Uh-huh.
And some things are just
wondrous. Well,
that's good. I think they are just wondrous. I mean, it's just, there's an awe in sort of inspiring nature sometimes with the things that we encounter there. When Paul said, there were things that were inexpressible, I think some of the things he couldn't express because he didn't actually have words to describe in his time period the things that he was experiencing. But sometimes I think there are things that we just can't vocalize, because they're too precious, or just too vocalized, really. They're just things which our spirit just wanders over and engages in that sense of awe of God's presence and his person and different things. But, certainly that's been my experience. So many things I've journaled, I've still not yet necessarily got full understanding of, but I journal them and I go back to them sometimes, and I find my spirit draws me to that which I need very often. I find, where I don't have a routine, in my life, I open up my first love gate with God, I spend time with him in intimacy at the beginning of my day. But what we do there, I just allow his spirit to sort of draw my spirit, and we go to places and do things, and just because, that's what seems to be the right thing to do. I get drawn to it. I know that I need to engage in the rulership of God, and I find that I end up usually doing some of that, but sometimes, I can find I just sit talking to him, listening to him, and just enjoying his presence. I mean, if we can't enjoy it, then I think we're missing something. I don't want to get so caught up in the doing that I lose sight of the first love. I mean, it's that first love wonder of who he is, and never losing that sense of awe, sort of inspiring, really. I mean, just being, what I've found is that I've just been taken deeper into everything. Everything I thought that I knew to start with was just the surface, and he's called me to go deeper into all the different things. So I've gone back to many of my first encounters where I went and engaged in certain things, and I've just gone deeper. And the revelation has been, the first time I went, my mind understood most of it. Even though some of the quantum stuff I had to sort of go back over and talk to others about and to explore, because I wasn't quite sure that I fully appreciated what he'd said, but when I went back, I found everything was true. But the recent encounters are going deeper. It's like my mind have not been able to contain, understand, or cognitively engage it. It's been my spirit engaging, and it's been spirit to spirit, and it's like my spirit receives almost light revelation. It's almost like an encoding of light as my spirit engages with that creative light of his spirit. And it's like it's, things are absorbed, or I resonate and vibrate, and things are absorbed and information is deposited. Truth is deposited that my mind hasn't got a hold of yet. But sometimes I find that just comes out when I'm speaking, I'm talking to people, or I'm just thinking about it myself, and all of a sudden there have been things I don't know that I all of a sudden know. You know, and that stuff is because I've gone deeper. And, you know, I've gone deeper into, I think a while back, you know, I had an invitation to experience the baptisms of the spirit, you know, baptism in water, baptism in the Father, and just step in and go deeper. And those were amazing things. You know, I'm still sort of engaging that in my own spirit, but that it was, I think it just showed me how huge God is. And you know, in some places I've gone back and gone down to three different levels of revelatory encounters, and they just get deeper and deeper, and I'm sure there's deeper and deeper levels to go. You know, but I sort of do start to catch up later, you know, and suddenly my spirit engages with my soul, and I find myself reasoning about things that I've never learned.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't that I remembered Jesus telling me it. It was just imparted in the encounter, and the revelation was imparted in the encounter. And all of a sudden, I'm talking about things that I've never really thought about before, you know. And I think that's sort of when your spirit begins to engage at that realm. You know, as I've engaged in the heart of God and gone back into eternity, recently I've spent a lot of time looking back into what was. You know, who was I? You know, who was I in the heart of God? Who did God intend me to be? What did God intend my life to look like? I've spent a lot of time in the was, so that I can begin to bring that into the ears of my day. And that's been a total difference, really. I've spent much less time asking, what do you want me to do? And, you know, what's my mandate for today? Although, you know, although I still want a mandate for my day, into, you know, who am I to be today? And if I am who I am to be today, then I'll, of course, do everything I need to do. And so I found that my deepening relationship with God has been much more about identity from an eternal perspective, and just being free, I think, just to be, which is, you know, has been a different, just totally different experience. You know, I spent time around the Ark of God's presence initially, and I was just looking to engage with what was in the Ark. I mean, that was my, God showed me what was in the Ark, and it was like, okay, I need to engage with what was in the Ark. So it was about, you know, the manna and the tablets of stone and the rod. And so everything seemed to be at that level. Okay, you know, what's your will? So I can resonate with your will. So I'm going to take the food, the manna, which is the food that Jesus said that the disciples knew not of, which was the will of the Father, and, you know, my heart being open for him to write things on the tablets of my heart, and then carrying the authority to outwork them. And that was the first level of my experiences, really, with around the Ark. But then you know, I began to look into his presence. You know, to start with, it was almost like I was aware of his presence, but I wasn't seeing his presence. He was telling me things about the nature of where I was and what was going on. But then I began to look in. It's like I took the place of the covering cherub and began just to wonder and look into the holiness of God and the wows of God. And that took it to a different level, because I then saw the manifestation of the presence of God and the four faces of God that began to sort of rotate, and I began to look into the four faces and see into the four faces and to discover the nature of the four faces and how I would relate to them, you know, and that was a totally different experience. And the sort of the yod, hey, vav, hey, and the life, sort of rhythm of life of coming in and out, and that was wonderful. And recently then, you know, I've then stepped into him and been baptized into the Spirit and into the Father, into the Jesus, and been sort of clothed with them and had sort of the armor of God, the armor of light and the armor of righteousness, and just that helped me engage with what was. And being in him, it's sort of like I could look into his heart, into what was in the past, although it's not really past, it's in eternity, and that was totally different, you know. It was just totally different, and I'm sure there's so much more to experience. I think we just must never get complacent or content. You know, there's one sense that I feel so at home in my own body and in my own life and in knowing my destiny, but just so desperately hungry for more, knowing, just, I want to know more. You know, I want to know him more. I want to know, you know, more about, you know, my identity in him as a son, you know, having sort of explored lordship for quite a while and kingship, and I want sonship. You know, I just know I need to engage in sonship. So there's some pretty deeper experiences for all of us, really, that he's calling us into. You know, So have you got anything you want to ask, Henry? Or any other questions around things? No. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can't actually hear you. I'm not sure whether you're muted or.
Oh, I could.
Can you hear him?
I could.
Okay. Oh, that's strange. Don't know. Normally, it's like if you can hear someone at the beginning, you can hear them all the way through. I mean, your microphone isn't off or anything, is it, Henry? No? All right. Okay. Well, never mind. Have you got anything else, Mary? Any other questions you might want to ask?
I guess not. I think I just need to spend time. That does help me. I have revisited. It seems like every time I'm able to go quickly back to where I left off. And, I guess I just need to let God reveal to me what that meant about the graduation.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me okay now?
Yeah, hearing you. Yeah, fine.
I'm not breaking up?
No.
There was one other thing. I don't know. You know, I've always... I'm beginning to learn that I have to just trust what I'm seeing and what I'm experiencing. You know, like I asked, do you think eating it? And trust that, you know, because I do pray, you know, and just trust God that he's going to keep me on track.
Yeah.
I guess that's been one of the biggest things in my whole life. My whole Christian walk was, I've asked her, you know, and I was taught a lot of things wrong, I've discovered, and I did walk in a lot of religion to begin with. And the fact that he's bringing me out is keeping me back from error, but...
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think in that whole issue, it's like, you know, Jesus said, you know, if you ask the Father for something, we don't have to fear that he's going to give us something bad. And I think it is the religious side of things that would try and get us into that legalistic or fearful of getting it wrong. You know, you have to have everything perfect. You know, we're on a journey of discovery. And actually some things that we know today are in the revelation that we've got today. And actually tomorrow we may have deeper revelation or revelation, which means, okay, that was where I was then. Now I'm going to move forward from that. You know, and it's okay. We don't have to be right in every dot and crossing every, you know, T and dot in every I, because we're on a journey of discovery, and there is no, there's no getting it wrong with him. You know, there's no sense that, you know, he's not there to punish us or to do anything. He's there to encourage and to draw us in, and we learn from our mistakes as well. You know, it's like we're allowed to do things so we can learn from them, and we don't need to fear, because there is, all the wrath of God has already been taken by Jesus on the cross. So, in a sense, there is no wrath. There's just love and a deeper relationship. And I think, you know, I've learned to trust that if I'm seeking God with all my heart, that he is going to...
Oh, now you're breaking up.
Okay, he's going to protect and to guide and to direct. You know, I trust him that I'm seeking him with all my heart. He's going to give me what I need. So, you know, I think we don't need to fear error. You know, truth and light is greater than darkness. And if we're seeking the truth, then we will learn to engage. So, yeah. Okay. Okay, well, looks like Mary's gone, and I can't hear you, Henry, so... for whatever reason, so I'm not really sure what that is, but maybe we'll just leave it there, and I'll reconnect in a couple of weeks, and hopefully I'll try and contact Mike Danforth and see some of the others, and just to make sure that they got the message. So I'm just.
I lost you for a time.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was just saying, you know, we'll leave it there.